welcome to Autosave. My name is Nick Andrade, and I'm here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hadaway, as I like to do her name like that. Camille Salazar Hadaway every time. And today I'm super excited to kick off our journey into our next game. We are one episode away from episode 50, by the way. We've almost done 50 episodes of Autosave.
People still want to listen to us? Wow.
Come on, no. No, we, of course people want to listen to us. We are incredible. I don't even know how to pivot to that. But our next game that we're doing through on to our 50th episode is God of War. To some people, God of War 4, which is the PlayStation 4 exclusive, the 2018 version that was also Game of the Year.
I'm excited. Let's go.
It's super intense, and I think, like, this series in general, it's a super, super intense franchise that has a lot of fans. It's probably one of the most popular games, you know, in existence. I want to ask you, like, what makes this franchise special to you? Do you have any memories with it? Have you played many of the games? Did you just play God of War 4? What's your experience with it, Ken?
Firstly, I'm just really excited that we're hopping into this because I will say Kratos, bump, bump, bottom throughout this series. So I apologize off the top. But yeah, like, I think there's, with that, right? Like, that's the old theme from the previous games. Like, there's a little bit of a lot of nostalgia there, you know, with God of War, just in terms of my friend group and playing the series together and kind of experiencing it and just being in awe that, you know, in a time where there weren't a lot of dark video games, like, this was one where it was just really fun because it was like a hack and slash. How about you? Did you play God of War?
I did, sporadically. And then I made sure before playing this to just get all my chickens in a row. Hens in a row? I don't know what the term
hens
is.
Hens in a row.
But to just make sure I have refreshed myself on the story, because I got to say, it's a very convoluted story. It's one of the most convoluted stories in gaming history, I would think.
No.
Of course.
It's how? Convoluted, but not that convoluted. Like, when I think of that, I think Kingdom Hearts. And
I feel like it's close to that.
Really?
Kratos has died 4 times in this franchise. Or 3. 3 or 4.
But he's a god. Gods die differently than mortals.
I was confused by that too, by the way, because the gods that he killed in the games, they pretty much died-ish forever, but he can come back to life every time.
You don't mess with the God of War. Facts.
That's true.
It doesn't
make
sense. We have to recognize too, when we're going back to some of these games, it was at a time where it was heavily focused for these companies just to put out a sequel without it making sense necessarily.
Yes.
We may have a little bit of that if we look back in the old God of War games.
I thought of this too. It was like the first game came out, it was a PS2. And a lot has changed since then, but to have such a dynamic story that it did at the time, I think is way ahead of the curve of a lot of other franchises. Like, just think of some of the things that they went through in this, like a lot of heavy themes. Like, just an example, like the reason why, you know, Kratos, you know, his skin looks so pale is because it's the ashes of his dead wife and child that is attached to his body. So it's really heavy.
So messed up. Yeah, it's really heavy. And I think that's why it attracted a lot of people to the franchise, because there was nothing like that. And it's kind of like, yes, it's heavy, but it's not like heavy and dark. Well, maybe it is for just the sake of it. But it's an interesting, I find it very interesting storyline as well, because it's just about the ultimate betrayal.
So let's go through some of that, because I think some people might need a refresher, and I certainly did. I had to go back. I kind of watched a bunch of videos explaining everything that had happened prior, because again, it's been a while. And especially the jump from God of War 3 to this God of War game, a lot has happened, slash now we're jumping into almost a whole new realm. So if you don't know, Kratos, he's a Spartan, Greek mythology. Although a lot happened, he also found out that he was the son of Zeus, that he wasn't immortal, although it started out as immortal. Basically, Zeus had a prophecy that a kid with a birthmark would basically overthrow him. So he sent Ares and Athena to go kill this kid. They capture his brother, Demas.
As fathers do, apparently.
Yes.
Zeus is the worst. Anyways.
I gotta say, too, like, the number one trope in all of, like, movies and video games or whatever, if you hear a prophecy, don't act on it because you end up creating the prophecy is what usually ends up happening. But Kratos vows revenge. A lot happens. He kills Ares. He also kills Zeus, Athena. He basically almost kills the whole Greek pantheon for revenge. Ares also tries to trick him, which is why he kills his daughter and his wife. A whole lot happens here. But the most important thing heading into this game, God of War 3, Kratos ends up killing Zeus. He also kills himself with the blade of Olympus. ... We're not so sure why he is alive now. In this game, I believe. Correct?
Yes. And I think that was, you know, when they revealed the 2018 God of War, everyone was just shocked because it's the mystery of what is Kratos doing here? What happened since we last saw Kratos?
You know, for a kid playing these games back in the day, in a semi-strict household, and I couldn't watch The Simpsons until I was 12 years old. Lots of nudity in these games. Yeah. Maybe not so much going forward in this one, but lots of gore as well.
Yeah, this was the type of game that you played late at night when you knew your parents wouldn't like walk into like the study room. This was not a game that you play on a Sunday in the living room. No, don't do that.
No, you couldn't.
Going you back to those see. Old games. It, very awkward. It's like watching Titanic with your parents. You don't want to experience that.
I actually watched Superbad with my dad in the theater.
What?
Incredibly awkward, especially like Jonah Hill, like he loves drawing dicks in the movie. And watching that movie with my dad, very uncomfortable. I was maybe like 14, 15 at the time.
Did your dad laugh at all the drawings?
He did.
Okay, well, that's
fine. He did. Anyway, so it is a confusing thing because we think Kratos is dead, but now he is in a new area, Midgard, which is funny that we also did Midgar in Final Fantasy VII, but he has a son now, and he has presumably a wife. So we go into this game relatively, and your experience in 2018, do you remember what your experience was thinking, like, what the hell is happening as you started this game?
I honestly was just, like, eyes wide open, like, just in awe. Like, I feel like the first time I played through these missions, like, just the start, like, maybe the first 15 minutes, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Whoa, look at that. Oh, my God. You know, like, it's just, like, you're so amazed because it's also a different type of game. The old games were hack and slashes. This is, like, a traditional action adventure, like a lot of other PlayStation exclusives, right, over the shoulder. So it's very heavily focused on the story and following Kratos through this story. So it was just a lot to be adjusted to. And like, especially because you're so used to the Greek mythology thing, going into Norse mythology, it's very cool. Especially I was experiencing a lot of the MCU with Thor and stuff like that. So it was like a renewed interest in that type of stuff.
And it's probably like the only way that you can renew this franchise because they had done everything within the Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. Like, right? He basically destroyed the whole world pretty much and killed all the gods and all that stuff. So in order to reboot this franchise, they had to go somewhere else. And I do like the fact that Kratos is still around. So we'll see exactly what happens. Cam, what do you think in terms of this franchise, where it stacks up in best franchises of all time or best games of all time? Obviously, we're not talking about like this game specifically yet until we get to the end. But where does it stack up in terms of like The Legend of Zelda, Metal Gear Solid, one of the top tier franchises in the gaming industry?
I would say maybe not the one of the best franchises of all time, but I would say definitely one of the most iconic of all time, just because of what this game did for like making that mature type of storyline in gaming at a time where you didn't see a lot of that. And in terms of like, because it was Game of the Year, I guess this has to be like the best game in the franchise? We'll find out as we play through it. But, you know, I'm very curious to see how this kind of resets the frame, because there's a lot of risk as well when you're going in and you're completely changing the gameplay, you're kind of changing or adding story elements that people could be like, okay, what, he has another kid and another presumable wife, like what the heck is that, right? So I think there's a lot of risk when you're going into an IP that has a dedicated fan base, and it now it's going to feel very different. So I think, yeah, once we play through this, we'll really have to revisit this question.
When you first played the game, what were your expectations going in? When God of War 3 came out, like, a lot of my friends took the day off to play this game. Like, they were so excited. And then when God of War, presumably 4, came out, it was the same thing. But the hype is real. But in terms of expectations and how different it looked at the time, were your expectations more or less because of this whole change in story?
I think it depends how you approach games that are similar to this, like over the shoulder, very action adventure and story driven, if it's more linear, right? Like for me, I do like that type of game because I'm very much into the storytelling. So my expectations were a lot more, especially at being a PlayStation exclusive. And, you know, at that time, we had a really good library of PlayStation's exclusives that set the standard of what that means, especially for a game like this. So I had very, very high expectations. And, you know, like for me, I think we should also say, like for me, I have played through God of War. You have not, right? So I'm curious, like, well, you started playing through this game and then life happens. So I'm curious what's your expectations going in now after everything you've heard, the buzz of the game?
Yeah, this is a game that has been on my shelf for a long time. Like I had it pretty much when it came out and I never really took the time to play it and I forgot about it. And again, this is like I played the previous games, but it was just one of those games where I'm like, I'll get to it. But again, the buzz is so real. Maybe I'll answer this question in segment 3.
Okay.
Because it really ties to this first chapter and what we're going through. I think this is where maybe it decided for me what my expectations were, because I really didn't go in with, I knew the game was the game of the year, but that didn't temper, that it didn't exceed my expectations. I still was coming into it fresh because it's been such a long time since I played God of War 3, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of, you know, our listeners who haven't played the game that want to play along with us may be in the same boat as you. So it'll be interesting to see if they feel the same ways you do going into the game years after.
So today we're covering the first chapter of the game, The Marked Trees, and we'll discuss after the break all of the goodness of the first chapter.
Oh, there do I see my mother. Oh, there do I see my father. Oh, there do they call to me. 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 She's ready.
So, very emotional beginning of the game right off the bat. We got Kratos, who seems a little bit older, although I don't know if he does. Can he age? I'm not really sure. But he does look older. He's sporting a full beard. He has a son. And now he's putting to rest his dead wife. Like, there's a lot of layers already to start off this game.
It's a very heavy start for a game.
Yeah.
Usually you have, like, just a moment. But, like, it really sets up where we are in the story. That's one of my favorite things at this part. It's establishing, like, it's kind of answering some of, like, why are we following Kratos along? And we now know it's like he has this wife who's all, you know, wrapped up and being not buried, but, you know, getting ready to say his goodbyes to, and like this son that seems very much attached to his mother. It's a heavy way to start, but I love it. I got goosebumps just hearing that.
So, of course, we know that Kratos had two-ish daughters. He had one that he ended up killing, and then Pandora, he ended up letting her get killed because he wanted to kill Zeus. So he doesn't really have a great track
job,
record as a parent. So that's why I was interested in seeing his dynamic with his child, Atreus. And we kind of see this scene as well after they start a fire to lay his wife and Atreus' mom to rest. Kratos gives Atreus her knife, but also says something like, has she taught you to use it before? Which makes me also think that Kratos hasn't really been around much. That's what I was kind of confused with, but also makes sense because he's a horrible dad.
I mean, yeah, it seems like, you know, with his dialogue with his son at this point, there's a little bit of distance between the two. So I'm guessing he hasn't really been there.
Yes. Again, already so many questions to be answered, which I'm really excited for. But the first mission, we have to hunt a deer. Atreus has to hunt this deer in order to kind of prove himself to Kratos to make a journey through the mountains, because he's not entirely sure if Atreus has it in him. Again, he is a very young boy, so we have to follow the tracks of the deer. And this is where we get our first sense of like fighting around. We have our Leviathan axe. We have a built-in shield. What do you think of the combat already so far early in this game? Because I really like it. Like 10,000 million times better than any other God of War game. Yes.
You don't miss his chains?
I don't miss it at all. I like this so much better.
Well, I think this, the Leviathan knife, axe, does fit the mythology we're in a bit more. And I kind of missed, there's just something mindless about hack and slash that's just also very rewarding when you're playing through it. When you have like these types of mechanics, you have the shield, the Leviathan axe, and for me, I'm thinking I'm probably gonna have to be a little bit more strategic with how I go into these battles.
Yeah.
So I was a bit hesitant with that, actually, because I'm just not too sure how that would impact my thought of the franchise.
And then Atreus finds the deer. Let me see what happens next.
There it is!
Hold! What are you doing? Now his guard is up! Only fire! Only fire when I tell you to fire.
I'm sorry.
Do not be sorry. Be better. Find it. Find it.
So this is where already
we're seeing
the dynamic. Jesus. I know, but we're seeing the dynamic between him and Atreus. Atreus seems like very fragile, and obviously Kratos is a very harsh person. And we get, like, I get it. This is the wilderness. This is a long, 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 presumably a long, long time ago where things are a little different here. But how do you think about that dynamic and the way Kratos, he yells at Atreus, but then he also takes a deep breath and is a little bit more calm. So it makes me think like he understands the predicament that he's in slash how Atreus is, but he also has a temper.
Yeah, like it's an interesting relationship because first playthrough experiencing this, you would think, gosh, like Kratos, like lay off, right? And it's very, it kind of reminded me, my dad, like he is really big into rollerblading. And when I was learning how to rollerblade, he would teach me, but like he would sometimes get like that, right? Like, no, don't close your palms if you fall. You're going to hurt yourself. Like, open your palms so you could fall properly. And I'd be like, oh, goodness. But because it was so close to like his interest, he was very much like, you know, just focused on the teaching it right. And so you could do it right. So it's like, I kind of also understand where Kratos is coming from. But yes, the childhood trauma is coming back.
Well, I remember when I first started learning to drive with my dad, I could tell like anytime I was like, he was so afraid of me dinging or damaging the car that like he was, when I ended up having to like being taught by my sister because she had a crappy old Civic and she was hilarious. Like didn't care. So like the pressure was off. But I remember my dad, like he wanted to be calm, but there was times, and then it just didn't work. So that's how I feel the dynamic is. We get to explore a little bit here on our own. And this is where I advise people playing this game to look around everywhere and every crevice because there are chests. There's some Nornir chests as well hidden in every little area. And this is what I like about this is that you have to search every kind of area. I know there in this beginning situation here, there's a chest that you have to scale down a wall for. And
yes,
most typically, if you're just trying to play straight through with the main story, you'll kind of skip that. You won't see it. So I implore people to just always look in every area that you're in and double check everything in case you want to get chests, because especially like the Nornir chests, there are ones that once you don't get it, you can never go back and get it after that. So make sure you do it.
Make sure you do it, because I did not do this in my first playthrough. I was just like, ooh, what's going to happen next? And I regret it. So I'm happy that we're playing through again so I could revisit that and try to get everything.
As we get through some more enemies, some wolves, some skeletons, and we learn more of our combat, Atreus finds the deer once again.
I got it.
Good. Your knife. No. Finish what you started.
I can't.
What, like, again, so this is just so heavy already.
Yeah.
I know there's a boss fight here, a relatively early boss fight, so, like, hell yeah, which I love that. But let's get back to them killing the deer. I feel like this is, like, a good parenting moment here for Kratos because he understands that Atreus maybe not be ready for this, and he helps him, and he makes him calm. He makes him understand that, yes, this is an animal, but this is something that, like, we need. This is something we eat, whatever it is. You need to learn how to do this. But he's very calm about it, which I like.
I agree with you. I feel like we should start a table. One's, like, good parenting, bad parenting, and, like,
yes,
put these moments under. So then at the end, we could see if Kratos is truly a good parent or not.
I'm going to write this down now. So right now, Kratos has been a bad parent one and a good parent in the other. Again, this is all subjective parenting skills.
It's all subjective, okay? I mean, we aren't wrong, so.
No, that's true.
But no, this is a really good moment. And I mean, it's hard. Like, as a kid that young, you know, obviously Atreus has, like, a lot of innocence in him, which also gets me curious because Kratos had such a dark storyline in the previous games, but Atreus, like, seems so separated from that. So I don't know if it's because Atreus is spending time with his mother or if it's, just, you know, Norse mythology, it's a little bit less less chaotic than Greek mythology, maybe, right? So, but he has that innocence, and it's very real, like, as a kid that age, to not be able to hunt and, like, kill the deer, especially, like, right as it's looking at you, right?
I know.
For Kratos to be very understanding of that, yes, good parenting, but also it's also disappointing. I could see in Atreus' eyes, because he cannot live up, or it seems like he cannot make his father happy. Like, he seems disappointed that he wasn't able to actually kill the deer himself. So we're kind of getting a little bit of his perspective with his relationship with his father.
I think he definitely wants to, like, make his father proud. And I think a part of his frustration is he feels like he's not, which is, you know, every kid can understand. But boss fight, by the way, super excited that they did this so early, because I feel like in a lot of games we played lately, there hasn't been many boss fights.
Yes.
So I've been upset about this. And this one is, I cannot pronounce this. There's a lot of weird pronunciations in this game, obviously Norse mythology, but this is Dawai. Quapmayor. I don't know.
Yep. I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
Thanks. That was pretty good to me.
But a real good taste of what we're getting into. I don't like when games almost sugarcoat training sessions. This one feels like, get a feel of how the combat works in terms of, like, the enemies that you're fighting. And now here's a chance for you to put that in practice with a relatively difficult first boss. I don't want to halo this up in terms of our gameplay with Halo recently, but it definitely ups the ante right away.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so early on to have a boss fight, and even you hear Atreus say it, like, we're going to fight that, right?
Yeah.
The amazement of, like, fighting a beast like that. So for you, I guess it's very hopefully telling of what's to come, because you love those boss battles.
I do. I want it to be a level of difficulty that sometimes I'm frustrated with and I die multiple times. I don't think I did this time. I don't know about you. You basically just have to make sure you're dodging. Use Atreus' arrows as well. It almost stuns the beast. I'm not going to say his name again.
Although I at this point, I'm kind of like, Atreus, like, I feel for you, but do more.
Are you annoyed of Atreus already?
A little. I'm like, this big boss has come here and you're just throwing arrows.
I do love that you can throw your axe, by the way, the Leviathan axe. And then it comes back to you like a I'm blanking on
a boomerang. There we go. Oh my gosh.
Wow, I'm losing it. Okay, a boomerang. But yeah, I really like that aspect of it. You can kind of, like, almost just pound him with that as much as possible and stay far away. That's also effective. But once you beat him up, get another cutscene.
That's what you get!
Boy.
Think I'm afraid of you! You're nothing to me!
Boy, nothing. Look at me! Look at me, boy! Boy, look at me.
We did it.
You are not ready.
What? Are you serious? I found the deer. I proved myself. How am I not ready?
We are going home.
I haven't been sick in a long time. I can do this.
You are not ready.
Oh boy.
Psycho. No. Atreus just stabbing that.
Should we bring our parents on as guests to kind of decipher all of this?
I know. So what does this mean from the father perspective? But that's crazy. That he just went crazy and then had the audacity to say, we killed him. Okay, no, you did not. You used, like, a few arrows. This was all Kratos, okay? There's just a lot here, too, because I don't know what Atreus is thinking, but I didn't think he was ready based on all the hesitation as well. I wouldn't necessarily come out of this as a parent, be like, good job. I would be like, you would have got yourself killed if I wasn't here, right?
Yes. There's red flags here in terms of like Atreus, I thought, who was like a sweet little boy who couldn't kill a deer, is now stabbing a million times this dead monster.
Psycho.
And is having like this rage fit. So now I'm starting to think like, okay, well, now he seems like Kratos' kid 100%. But now we're trying to see like, okay, now there's a little personality traits here. I kind of agree with Atreus here in terms of, I think Kratos is being a little bit too harsh on him. And I think Atreus did prove himself because he did shoot the deer.
He shot the deer, but he didn't kill the deer. Like, he didn't finish the pain of the deer. And then he also hesitated with this boss. Come on, we are in Norse mythology. Well, you will die in an instant. So, I mean, I understand. And we hear Atreus say, like, he hasn't been sick for a while. So maybe that's also the reasoning that Kratos is very protective in a way, or like being very hard because he's being protective to make sure that he doesn't get hurt.
So we're going to put that in, and that's a good parenting skill by Kratos.
Good parenting, but bad communication. So bad parenting too.
Okay. So now two and two, basically. I thought he communicated well.
Did he?
Like, I don't know what else he's going to say. His kid is trying to like openly stab a dead thing. And is frustrated.
Yeah, but then his kid's like, what are you talking about? Like, I killed this thing. I like shot the deer and like we killed this. And then he's just like, we're going home. Like, I don't care what you're saying. We're going home.
There's also this kind of thing we're seeing where Atreus is coughing. They talk about him being sick before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there's something here that we don't know for sure, but he's been sick a lot before. So that's something to maybe keep of note. So right now we have Kratos, though. Two good parenting skills, two bad parenting skills. Do you want to put good kid, bad kid as well for Atreus?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. He has 3 points right now for bad kid.
He has 3 points for bad. I think he has 1 point for good, for being sweet.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So right now he's a brat is what we're saying.
Yeah. He's kind of a brat.
Well, that means it's time for him to go home and take a nap probably because, you know, kids need naps in order to feel better.
They need that nap time.
Yes. So once we get there, we confront Atreus again. Kratos wants Atreus to not be so weak, and he wants him to control his emotions. Doesn't want him to be clouded by anger because he basically says, you know, there's a lot of danger out there. You always need to have a calm mind. Is he correct in telling Atreus this?
I think the advice is good, but you know how they say lead by example? I would like. How is Kratos, the Kratos we've known coming into this game, led by example with that?
I can already see, I feel like he's trying to be more patient. A lot of time has passed. You can see it in his face. He's a weathered body. I feel like he is trying, and I know he has his anger issues, but I feel like he is really trying.
He's kind of going into his like Mike Tyson phase after biting the ear off. He's like one with himself now.
So he's a calm, zen Mike Tyson.
He's a calm, zen Mike Tyson. That may lose it any moment, but just keeping it zen for right now.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to give good parenting skills to Kratos on this one and not bad.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him 3-2 right now at this point. But as they get inside, there's a knock on the door. Who could it be?
Come on out! There's no use hiding anymore. I know who you are.
What's going on? Do you know him?
More importantly, I know what you are.
Boy, beneath the floor. Now.
But you told me never to go down there. Who is that?
I do not know.
What's he talking about?
I do not know. Get in.
Just tell me what I want to know. No need for this to get bloody.
Thought you'd be bigger. But you're definitely the one. Long way from home, aren't you?
What do you want?
Oh, you already know the answer to that.
Whatever it is you seek, I do not have it. You should move on.
Whew.
And here deep breaths.
Like, they need doorbells. That was aggressive knocking.
Yes, I'm sure they had the doorbell technology.
Yeah, they needed. They, I mean, if you have an axe that could come back to you like a boomerang, you could make a doorbell. just saying. Anyways,
knocking is honestly it adds to it. Okay, it makes it more suspenseful. All right, that's what it is.
Yes, fine. Imagine if there was a doorbell, you just hear ding dong, ding dong. I know who you are. Just like he's aggressive, but then it's a little dinging.
This might be worrying for Kratos, though. It seems like he has hidden who he is and his personality, yeah. And he's been hiding here alone in the wilderness with his family. So it is concerning to him that this stranger, who is named the Stranger, we don't know who he is here to basically attack him or kill him or whatever it is. I have to mention right off the hop, he looks more like Atreus than Kratos. Like, it looks like.
Are you saying this is like, are you saying like a love triangle here? Like maybe Atreus is like,
maybe.
Are you the father kind of situation?
Yes.
Maori. Did they have Maori in Norse mythology? They need to bring Maori to,
they should,
to Kratos'
yeah.
house. Yeah.
Imagine Maori. Okay, this is getting too outlandish. But Atreus, he like has all the tattoos.
Yes.
And he's skinny. This guy's skinny too. You know, Kratos is bulky and big. And I got to say, like, Atreus looks more Norse than he looks Greek. Just saying.
Oh, okay. Mystery. I'm keeping my eye on this one because that's a very interesting theory.
We get into another boss fight right away. Hell yeah. Already two now in this first mission. The suspense and like the mystery of it all is so engaging already. We don't find who this guy is, but this second boss fight here with the stranger, how did you find it? There's two tiers to this fight. It's very bloody and gory.
Very bloody and gory, but also very like... This stranger dodges super quickly and like just dashes everywhere. It's very annoying, but I found blocking to find an opportunity to counter worked really well for the first phase anyways.
Yes. I realized too, the dodging doesn't work as well as the blocking because again, it gives you an opportunity to attack. So for the most part, I was dodging way too many times and realizing, well, when can I get my in? And then I realized that yes, you can with your shield, make sure you time it right. And then you can get him and attack a few times. You don't get that many chances. Like, he is a very strong boss in terms of
and
that.
A magical one too. Like
yes, he has powers.
At first when I saw him at the door, I was just like, oh, immortal. Oh my gosh, just get out of my way. And then like his tattoos lit up. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? So I'm really curious about him.
We do find out through the fight. He mentions that Odin had sent him to confront Kratos, which is probably not a good sign for Kratos that the god of North mythology is coming after him and sending almost like a messenger to him.
Yeah, the god of gods. Yeah.
Yeah, so yikes for him. But this guy is really strong and he keeps saying that he can't feel anything, that all this fighting, especially like Kratos is like completely full of blood. This guy's completely full of blood. And he cannot like really do much damage against him. So like Kratos is in trouble. But we do get in the second phase a rage bar, and that's where we can do our most damage. What do you think of it?
I mean, it's good that like they kind of, because that's the thing, right? Like, how are they going to pull in those elements like of the chaoticness of the franchise that everyone knows and kind of likes to this game that kind of, it started off where it's like we see that rage still in him, but he's trying to kind of hide it and like subdue it. So I like this rage bar because then it's like, you know, it's going to get more intense. And Kratos is good for really close combat. So the sequences when you have the rage bar is really cool.
It's super cool. I love it. And it makes you feel like all powerful. However, I do notice they do a good job here in Kratos does seem older. His fighting style, slower. It's not as precise. It's not fast paced. And I like this little touch to it. I don't know, like, is it on purpose? I'm guessing it is, but I definitely feel him being an older self.
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't fight the same as he did before. Like, he was faster when he fought. Like, he's meatier now, and that really shows in how you know, he attacks, he does sometimes attack slow. And like, sometimes I'm like, come on, Kratos, keep moving. So he's definitely aged.
Kratos finally gets the best of this stranger. He cracks his neck in a very brutal ending and throws him over the cliff. I'm sure the stranger isn't dead because he says that he hasn't felt much of this pain, but Kratos is left completely bloody, an intense battle. And Kratos is really questioning what just happened.
Who was he? He knew me. Did he know my past? How did they find me after all this time? Faye, what do I do? Our son is not ready to carry your ashes to the top of the mountain.
So you can almost hear the fear in Kratos' voice in terms of, like, I feel like he's been trying to run away from his past and he's been in the wilderness for a long time, but he's so confused as how they know about him.
Yeah, it's also interesting too because he speaks to Faye, right? And he says he's asking Faye for, like, guidance, which tells me then, does Faye knew who he was?
I think so.
Right? So, but then I guess it's like, who knows who he is?
Yes.
Because he seems like Kratos wouldn't tell anyone, I guess. But I guess Faye knows in some sense. And then does Atreus know as well, right? Because, and maybe that's why Atreus is trying to live up to that expectation. Ooh. I don't know.
That's a good point, because I honestly thought that Atreus might not know anything. He just knows that his father is someone that's, you know, very important. I'm not necessarily knows he knows for sure, but that would be a great dynamic, and that maybe makes sense of why he is trying to fill his shoes, because he does know his past and who he is.
No, but like, I know, like, Kratos is like also like, how did they find out? But for us, like, we don't know if he has beef with the Norse gods. So for me, I was just kind of like, why are they after him?
Ooh, because that could be a thing too, where he had priorly, like, he met them prior. Right? And maybe he has a history with them somehow.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I like the idea that maybe they found out about him and he has been just trying to hide this whole time. There's a specific point here where he says, like, Atreus isn't ready to carry your ashes to the top of the mountain. Is that something important? Because to me, it feels like that needs to be done. Why does it need to be done? Is there some sort of, like, ritual that happens if he brings the ashes to the top of the mountain? Does he get a power? Does something happen there? So that was something that I definitely circled because I wanted to know more about that.
For me, I think I just took it as like kind of like last will and testament. Like, you know, that's just the last wishes. Maybe. Or yeah. Like I didn't really look into like a higher purpose rather than like just being respectful. Like maybe that is just the ritual of like Norse mythology. And that's the thing, I'm not too well versed outside of what the MCU has introduced to me on Norse mythology.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're meeting the Guardians at some point, I really know nothing about who these people are or what rituals take place.
I guess because everything is so shrouded in mystery, I'm taking every word for a little bit more than maybe it's worth, because there's just so many things already that we need answering for. But that's it for chapter one. I think one of the best opening chapters of a game that I've ever played, but we'll talk more about that after the break.
There was so much, I thought. You're all right.
I am all right. Come. Gather your things. We are leaving.
But I wasn't ready.
You are not. We have no choice now. Prove me wrong.
Yes, sir.
So this chapter, for me at least, really sets up the dynamic and how important that the relationship between Kratos and Atreus will be. And this is, it really just sets the table to tell us, like, this is what this story is going to be about. And it's going to be about these two finding their way.
Yeah. I do like, especially in this moment where, because the dialogue before could just seem like Kratos is really just ragging on Atreus and, you know, very hard on him.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that he said, prove me wrong. Like, he's wanting to see him actually succeed. Like, he's not just saying, you're not ready. Having that in his mind, he actually has like a standard of what readiness looks like in his eyes, and he wants Atreus to meet it and be successful. Because to me, that's a point for good parenting. You want the best for your child.
Yeah.
Good job, Kratos. Are you putting it in the column? You're putting it in the column, right?
Good parenting, right?
Well, I mean, like, he wants the best for his son.
Yes.
We got to keep track of this, okay? We're gonna have like pages and pages.
So right now, after chapter one, Kratos has been a good parent 4 times, and he's been a bad parent 2 times.
Oh, that's not too bad.
You had him at 3, but I nixed it because I have the power in this episode. Oh. You have the power next episode.
No! Okay, fine. There we go.
So you can decide, but I took that point away. I thought that it was still good parenting. There's a lot of mystery here, which I really like. It's shrouded in mystery. Does anything to you add up in previous games, or is this like a clean slate? Like, I'm saying, in terms of like, have you come into this chapter and be like, oh, there's something that's reminding me of X, or is this just completely a new slate?
Like, the only thing, it's like when the stranger mentioned Odin, right? I'm like, ooh, deja vu, right? But other than that, there has been nothing that reminded me of the first games. And it's weird because usually hopping into an experience, a franchise from your childhood, you're looking for that nostalgia. But there has, other than seeing Kratos, there has nothing that been like, oh, this is nostalgic. But it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it, which is so weird. I feel like it's hard to do.
I guess the only mention of that is the stranger and his past, and that he knows his past, which is a cool concept. I do enjoy that it's not, well, Kratos has been on here a long time and no one knows who he is, and now they get into an adventure and something happens. This is very much set in to his past as well, which I think is really important because, you know, a lot has gone on in this man's past that I think he needs to also pay up for.
Ooh.
Which I don't think he fully has either.
Oh.
And
you're from that party, eh? Oh, okay.
I do, because I do think, and I can tell by his body language and maybe the pain in his voice, that I think he regrets a lot of his life decisions.
Mm, okay. Like, he didn't want to destroy all of Olympus. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, that could be very regretful.
But I do think that comes from, and I hope we learn more about his relationship with Faye, because
yeah.
I feel like he very much loved this person more than anything, and that maybe changed his perspective.
Yeah, because even in, I'm trying to think his relationship with, or what we know of his relationship with his wife in the past, like his previous wife, it seems like they were very loving, but I never got that sense of like connection as I have in this first chapter with Faye.
I do know, like, in those games, the only reason he was tied to not being the so-called weapon with Ares was because he regretted he loved his wife and child so much that tied him. So that's the one thing, like, I know he loves.
Aw, good father.
No, we're not adding a point to him here, okay? No, we're not. So, also, I want to talk about, like, the chests and the loot and all this, the Nornir chests. You do get 2 kinds of chests. Like, if the Nornirs, it's almost like a puzzle where you have to knock out these symbols at a specific time. I think there's only 1 in the first mission. And you can get either 1 of 2 things. You can get the Idun apple or the Horn of Blood Mead. You basically get more HP, more health, or more rate on your rage bar.
Yes.
And every time you unlock these, you get more.
I'm always wishing for more rage. More rage. Let's go.
I always want more health. That's how I go. Oh. But
well, that's responsible.
I know that you missed the first chest in this one, but I did go back and I checked. There are enough Nornir chests in this game for you to get full HP and full rage, regardless if you miss some chests. So that's a good sign. So if you miss the chest right away, don't worry about it.
And I kind of like that. It's like so much pressure to be looking around.
Well, that was the thing in Halo, right? With the skulls.
Yeah.
You didn't get the skull, you can never go back and get it. But this one at least gives you a chance. Like, okay, if you miss that, there are still plenty of others to get. I agree with you on
exactly.
That. We mentioned combat a bit, but overall, your thoughts on this compared to previous God of Wars? Because again, it's a lot different.
It is so different. And because of that, I really like it. I wonder, and maybe, you know, if you're listening and you're a real hardcore fan of the original games and the original gameplay, I'm curious to your thoughts on that. So like hit us up on our socials and let us know how you find this compared to the first one, because I really enjoyed this. And a lot of that has to also do with just how it's setting the tone for what we have to look forward to, especially as fans. So it's still linking that, don't worry, Kratos' past is somehow connected to like the story, but also has this mystery of like his new wife and his son and like how he is with them in this world. And also, how did he find himself here? Like, you could just travel from the Greek mythology into Norse mythology. Like, I don't know, but it's making me very hopeful for the chapters to follow.
I mean, it might just be like the earth and the world.
A like boat? It's just a, yeah, like just he takes a boat over from Greece to Norse?
Iceland, I don't know.
Yeah, we are obviously not like historians or like... How are you finding it though? Like, are you liking the how it sets the tone? Are you wanting more?
Like, combat-wise, I love it in terms of better than... I was never a huge fan of the God of War combat before. Especially 3, I felt like it was a little too like loosey-goosey. But this one just feels like I like the format that they made this game. It's very Naughty Dog-esque. It's very The Last of Us / Uncharted / it's very PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I of course, like that because I'm a PlayStation buff. So I have only good things to say about that. But I think... in terms of setting the tone, Cam, like this for me reeled me in so well. And the first chapter does such a great job at like not only pulling at your, you know, as a gamer, but your heartstrings as on an emotional level. This is pure movie. This is pure drama. And I love every second of it.
I will say, though, I do want, I'm hoping just because of how this is playing and I am enjoying the mechanics and it being over the shoulder, I really want to see the Blades of Chaos come in. So I'm hoping Kratos kind of has them stashed away somewhere and we do get them at some point. That's the one thing like I'm hoping.
Because they are still probably tied to him, correct?
I have no idea at this point. Or it's been so long.
Because the last game he died, or did he die? I'm guessing he didn't die. Which is why he's
this is like another, you know, the Avril Lavigne theories that it's not Avril Lavigne anymore. It's Melissa. Maybe this isn't Kratos anymore. It's just some guy named Bob.
Great reference. Way out of the blue. If you have your bingo cards out, I would not have expected that to even been on the list. But thank you for that. I mean, on a Friday.
That's another thing we should start, like just a list of random things that autosave covers that you would never expect from a video game podcast. Avril Lavigne and Melissa theories being one of them.
Wow. All right.
You're welcome.
I guess I'll leave it at that unless you have anything else to say before we go.
Well, whether it's Kratos or whether it's maybe his doppelganger, Bob, I'm really excited to see the story unfold with God of War. It's off to a good start. Really exciting.
Yes, that's true. Kratos is love. Kratos is life. Next time on Autosave, we take a look at chapter 2 and 3 and try to unlock some more mysteries of Midgard on Autosave.
awesome.